Welcome to The PA Is In, the show created by PAs for PAs, where codependency with your supervising physician is a thing of the past, optimal team practice is the future, and physician associate has taken the place of physician assistant as the professional title of choice. I'm Tracy Bingaman, and I'm obsessed with redefining what success as a PA looks like and what it feels like. Here you'll find the mindset shifts, systems, and processes I use to escape healthcare burnout and integrate my work into my life. Work-life balance is a myth, and an integrated life where you thrive professionally, not a balancing act, is the goal here. My mission is to help you to grow into a unicorn PA who loves their job, has abundant energy, time to spare, and work optional financial freedom. The PA is in. Have you ever thought about opening up your own practice and becoming a PA practice owner, but wondered, is it even legal in my state? Do I need to employ a supervising physician? How do I get this thing off the ground? And what about malpractice? Our guest today is going to answer all of those questions and more. Catherine Werner has opened up her own telehealth psychiatry practice and now is a consultant helping other providers to open up their practices legally and efficiently in states across the country. Without further ado, here she is, our guest, PA Catherine Werner. Before we dive into this episode, it is time for this week's The PA Is In review of the week. This week, the review is from Miriam K. Ortho PA. She gives us 5 stars, which is my favorite number of stars to receive. Miriam says, I wish I had found this podcast sooner. As a PA for 23 years, I was definitely feeling burnout creeping in. Tracy explains everything that I was feeling and why. She also explains how PAs can advocate for themselves and each other, plus has great interviews with other providers who share their knowledge and expertise as well. Miriam, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to leave us a review. If you are a regular listener of this show, leaving us a review is a great way for you to say, hey, thanks. We really appreciate the content that you are making. It also helps other providers to find the show. So head to iTunes, give us 5 stars, and give a little written review of why you love the show. All right, that's it. Catherine, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Tracy. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. So I would love it if you could just take a moment to introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us about you and your career so far.
Yeah, so I'm Catherine Werner. I'm a PA. I own White Pine Mental Health and Wellness, which is a telepsychiatry practice where I see patients in Alabama and Idaho. And so that's how I spend most of my time. I also do business consulting for other PAs, NPs, you know, doctors that are starting their own practices as well.
Awesome. So how long has your practice been open?
Since 2019. Luckily, I'd already started it when the pandemic hit and we were like ready to roll. So it was good. It was great.
Yeah. And did you work in psych as an employee of another practice before you opened this practice on your own?
Yeah. So I'd been a PA since 2007. So I'd been a PA for about 12 years before I opened the practice. And my first job straight out of school was at a traditional outpatient psychiatry practice. And after about a year there, I got approached by a much bigger organization to help them. It was like a social work and counseling practice. And so I got approached by them to start a med practice and kind of grow it to several locations and then also add in some family practice. So I did that for several years. And then we moved to DC for my husband's job. And at that point, I worked in hepatology research for a little bit and then family practice and internal medicine for about 3 years. And then we moved again and got back into psychiatry and have been there ever since. Did a little bit of education here and there and still do that occasionally. But
yeah, I love to highlight the fact that no one's career trajectory is linear. I think when I was a new grad, I had this idea I would get out, I would get a job, and I would just stay there forever. You know, like I don't know that anyone actually expressly told me that or if that was just an assumption that I made, but I thought once a surgery PA, always a surgery PA, right? Like I thought it was sort of get in, get on a track and keep going. So I love to highlight, hey, I bounced around a little.
Yeah. Well, and that's so interesting because I actually was planning to go to med school and like was enrolled in the whole thing and kind of got scared of that like linear one track. Like I'm going to get into a specialty and it's going to be really hard to change. And that's kind of what made me go to PA school is because it's like, I know myself too well and I'm going to get like a little bored and need a change and don't want it to be this huge hurdle to change specialties. So it's been a really great fit in that way.
I have often thought of that, that if I, you know, had gone to medical school and had to have chosen one specialty as a physician, if I had burned out, my options for where I went after I burned out would have been a lot more limited. It would have been limited by, you know, whatever I was board certified in or what it would not have been. I could literally go anywhere in medicine, anywhere anyone would hire me, medicine, surgery, anywhere. And I really think that saved me when I was going through that burnout to have that opportunity to do something else.
Well, and I think even just through the stages of your life, you need so many different things. You know, fresh out of school, I could work 50 hours a week or 60 and it was totally fine. Like I loved it. And then, you know, you have kids or a family or, you know, certainly as we get older, I'm sure I'm going to want to slow down a little bit. So, you know, I think that's really one of the unique things about being a PA that I love.
Yeah. So do you find that owning and operating your own practice, you actually work less than when you worked with someone else? Or are you still working a ton of hours?
It kind of depends. So if I'm comparing my career to when I was full-time, yes, I work vastly less than I did then. I mean, I didn't roll into work until 9 today and I'll clock out at 3 easy. Now, if I'm comparing to when I worked part-time, it's probably comparable. So I was working about 12 hours on the clock at another practice before I started my practice. Just the balance with kids and family, I needed that. Like I said, the hours are probably comparable now. The nice thing, though, is that my income capacity is much greater and my flexibility and just like the autonomy I have over that schedule is completely under my control. So if we want to, you know, I mean, I probably take about 8 weeks of vacation a year and nobody looks at me cross-eyed or says anything about it. Now I'm checking my phone. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm checking in while I'm traveling, but I'm not bound to the office. I'm not bound to seeing patients during that time. And that's been just such a good thing for our family. I think too, the balance is a little, for me personally, like I'm just in my work, I'm very emotionally invested. So the split of time, I may see, you know, 10, 15 hours of patients, but then I get to do 5 or 6 hours of admin time, which isn't, you know, it's a nice break for me emotionally. I love seeing patients, but I just kind of need a little mix it up there.
Are you sick of getting mystery beef at the grocery store from some unknown corporate production line? Promised Land Meats offers premium beef raised from a family farm, personalized to your family's needs, and delivered to your door. We've been a customer of theirs for over a year, and we love the meat. Even Dan, who is really hard to impress when it comes to beef, won't stop raving about the quality of these cuts. You can truly taste the difference. Choose the Farm to Family subscription plan and get a customized farm-raised beef box shipped to your door every 1, 2, or 3 months. Skip the grocery store and shop with your American farming family by going to promisedlandmeats.com or click the link in the show notes. Yeah, I think we all have a threshold of how much is too much of seeing patients and really feeling like that can start to feel like a drain, whether it's just you've, you know, overreached your ability to be compassionate with a patient encounter or that there's something going on mentally, physically, logistically in your life that's making you feel not as available to those patients. You know, you want them to have a good experience. So,
and that's the thing is I want to show up to every visit like fresh and really present in those moments. And so I think this ability to flex that how I need to in different times or season really has helped me personally, but I think it also is beneficial for my patients as well.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of providers who are interested in and curious about telehealth. With these last couple of years, the pandemic, all the virtual visits that we did, seeing spouses and partners and friends who were like, oh yeah, I haven't left my house in weeks. You know, I'm working from home as we were driving to the office, as we were driving to the hospital. I think that experience made a lot of providers think, well, what if? So what if I could work from home? What if I could do telemedicine? Could you tell us a little bit about your experience from, you know, a professional fulfillment standpoint, from a socialization standpoint. Like, I think I might go a little stir crazy if I was home every day of the week.
Oh, and it's definitely a balance for sure. You know, when the idea of telemedicine was first introduced, I was like staunchly against it. Like, how are we going to treat patients if we can't put our hands on them? Even in psychiatry, like, I mean, I've had patients come in with delusions that I needed to physically do a throat exam or, you know, listen to their heart, feel their belly just to make sure there wasn't anything going on. So again, I was not at all excited about this. But over time, as I learned more and I learned how we can perform physical exams via telehealth, you can talk a patient through a pretty good abdominal exam, at least for my purposes in psychiatry. Now, I'm not going to, you know, an acute abdomen, no, they need to go in. But, you know, for what we do on a psychiatry, even family medicine, a lot of times derm, you know, you can see and get what you need virtually. And that, I think, is such a benefit for us and our mental health and our wellness and our efficiency. But I also think the patients, for a lot of patients, it makes them a lot more comfortable. And I know in psychiatry, I'm seeing a lot of people disclose a lot of things I don't think they would in person. And so that's kind of been a really cool thing for me to see. But for the like balance of that and the feelings of that, I think, you know, we're cutting down on time on the road, which helps my emotional energy so much. I'm also just really an introvert. I like interacting with patients, but the office staff and, you know, all the noise and the smells can get really overwhelming. And I can really create an environment that suits me, which I love and helps me feel healthy and fulfilled. You know, I don't have to bring my lunch. Like, that seems like silly things, but it really, in the course of a day, all those little things add up and make me feel so much better. Now, the stir crazy thing is very real. As much of an introvert as I am, I don't like being in the same, you know, 2,000 square feet all the time. So I do have to be really purposeful. My husband also works from home. So that's a lot of like just time in the same space. I mean, and so we both are very purposeful to, if I'm doing admin work, I may go to Panera and do it. Or if I have a break in between patients, I'm walking laps around the neighborhood rather than, you know, just clicking away in the, you know, in my office. I may change settings in the home. So if I'm doing something that I can, I may go to the porch. I have a lot of patients that I see from my back porch when the weather's nice. So, you know, just kind of figuring out what works for you is great. I mean, I think too, as a practice owner, being able to work from home really decreases your overhead and makes it a lot better that way. I also had a lot of experiences of kind of aggressive patients. And so knowing that I feel physically safe, that nobody's going to be yelling at me, that I can't turn off, nobody's going to be in my personal space, just helps me feel a lot more comfortable and easy day to day.
Yeah. I think that it's so interesting that doing these virtual visits, it's a different way to connect with patients in a way that almost preserves their anonymity and helps them to feel safe, but also helps us to feel, you know, safe and like we aren't necessarily in a situation where we might feel unwell. Like I personally feel very comfortable with the healthcare system because I've worked in it for the last almost 20 years. And still, I recently had an experience where I got my appendix out and then I had a postoperative fever and needed to get ruled out for an abscess. So I had a stat outpatient CAT scan and I had to go to the imaging department and drink the contrast in the waiting room, right? So I'm in this waiting room, drinking, waiting. And I knew exactly what was going on. I knew what was happening behind the scenes. I knew the potential outcomes. I knew the likely, you know, most likely diagnosis. I had a differential. So it wasn't that the medicine was confusing or upsetting or like anxiety provoking for me, but just sitting there in the waiting room, surrounded by other people in this like awkward, no one's making eye contact. Like that can be a very intimidating experience. And if you had a bad waiting room experience in the past, going to someone who offers virtual visits might lower the bar and get that patient to be seen when otherwise they're going to say, no, I don't do doctor's offices. I don't do, you know, visits.
For sure. And I get a lot of patients with OCD and real severe anxiety who haven't left their home, you know, for months. And so the idea of having to go to a doctor's office is, I mean, they're just not going to. So to be able to reach them or even patients in rural areas, Idaho is very rural. Like you can drive hours before you can get to see a psychiatrist. And if you have to go once a month, which most of my patients do, like that's a huge burden for people. So I think, being able to make that more workable for patients is really meaningful and a service we can offer.
Yeah, I think all providers want to decrease barriers, right? So if this is a way that we can actually say, you don't even have to come to our building, you don't have to leave your home, and you can get what you need or get connected to someone who can say, hey, here's what I can do for you. You do need to see someone in person for X, Y, or Z, that then at least the person knows, okay, this is what's going on. This is the plan of attack, and that patients can take that information. We can't make them go, but we can, you know, give them the information as a part of that visit.
And they may be willing to do one visit if they know that's the right person. But, you know, sometimes it takes three or four visits to get to that right person that you, that it's actually going to help. And patients know that. They know that it may be a process. And so anything we can do to like make that easier, I think is huge.
Absolutely. So I think the elephant in the room with opening your own practice as an advanced practice provider is that there are people listening saying, that sounds great, but in my state, I need a supervising physician. In my state, I need a written agreement. In my state, I need to have some association with a physician in order to practice medicine and do the things. I hope in 10 years I'm recording a podcast that every state has independent practice and we are able to do what we are trained and licensed to do. However, today is not that day. So let's talk about the logistics of how you open a practice as an advanced practice provider. Do you have a doctor that you pay to supervise you? Okay.
Yeah. Alabama is one of the more or less, it's a little bit more restrictive. I was trying to frame that positively, but it is a little bit more restrictive. Idaho is less so, which is nice, but even there you need a collaboration. You need a collaborating physician. So yeah, I have a supervising physician that I pay a monthly fee to be on staff. And that's his only function, is to provide collaboration when I need it. And then we'll do our supervision meetings and chart review as needed. You know, I really do value his input and his opinion. However, I probably could get it without all the, you know, formal structure there. But that's how that works. So, you know, it is really important for practitioners who are opening their own practice to not only consider the supervision requirements or collaboration requirements, but also the ownership requirements. A lot of states have corporate practice of medicine rules where PAs cannot hire physicians, or there's some barriers to that, or how, what percentage of the practice we can own. So those are definitely two things you really need to think about. The nice thing with telehealth, though, is that you're not always bound to your state. So, you know, it, just because you live in Alabama doesn't mean you have to practice there. I actually started the practice out of Idaho because I knew I could do it there. Like, I knew it was going to be, it would work. And so it's like, okay, I want to start, get my income, get all the kinks worked out before I even present this plan to, and make sure it was something that I liked before I presented this plan to Alabama, where it was going to be a lot more of a process. And it actually wasn't nearly as hard as even in Alabama as I anticipated. So yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah. I think sometimes we build up these things to be the reason that we don't try, because we don't want to fail. So if I don't ever try to open a practice, then I can never not succeed at this thing that I didn't try. So what advice do you have for the person who's listening, who's sort of like, well, this is something I've thought about. I definitely think that I could do this. I think I would thrive. However, there's something in my mind that has sort of held me back or told me, well, Catherine can do it, but I can't do it. Can you talk to that person?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I do think I'm kind of a little uniquely wired that I just don't care about failure. It's like, I'll pick myself up and figure something else out. Like, it's fine. But I know not everybody's built that way, and that's okay. I think the one thing that I always tell people is, as PAs, that is what we are built to do. We are built to have this much knowledge, you know, like 2 years of school, a solid foundation, and then get thrown out into the world and figure it out. Like, our problem solving skills and our ability to find answers is our job. And so that doesn't just apply to medicine. That same training and those same thought processes and those same skills can apply to anything. If you want to start a business, if you want to try, you know, whatever. So, you know that as a PA, and I think really most people in medicine, like we're geared to find out information. So that's really what we need to do. And it's totally doable. Yeah. And the information's out there too, you know, it's not hard to find. And so I think that's really nice.
Yeah. I say that a lot when I get on the phone with providers who are getting ready to negotiate. We build up these negotiations, these business conversations, to be something that we are ill prepared for. But that person told someone they had cancer yesterday and literally did not break a sweat, right? That's a hard conversation. That's saying, hey, this is the deal. This is the plan. This is what we need to do. That's the same as a negotiation. You're just changing the person you're talking to and the subject that you're talking about. You're using the exact same skill. So I love that reminder that we are already solving problems. We are already creating pathways. We are already making systems. We just happen to do it where someone else is employing us and making the money off of the work that we're doing.
Yeah. So you might as well take those skills and use them to your benefit as much as you can.
Sure. So you said these are so easy to find. Tell us where you look to find, like, how do I know what my state laws are? How do I know about the corporate practice medicine ownership things? Like, what are some good resources or places that we can find that stuff?
So I actually have a resource guide. So you can go to our website at certifiedpaconsulting.com. There's a little business tab. And at the very bottom of that page, there's a free resource guide. But really all that is links to other places. But the Secretary of State's website is going to give you the information about ownership. So legal structures and corporations and how that may apply to medical practices. And again, that's a corporate practice of medicine laws. So you can look those up in each state. The AAPA a lot of times is a good resource. And then also your state PA association may be able to help with some of those ownership things. They may not be, but sometimes they can be. You can always consult a lawyer. And once you've done a little bit of research, then you can go to the lawyer and hopefully keep your costs down. Then there's also for supervision and practice stuff, your state board of medicine or whatever it's called in your state has all of that spelled out. You can email them. Again, your board of your state PA association, AAPA, has all that stuff. And AAPA has a guide that's already put together with all the supervision laws for each state. So you can read those. And it may be a little bit in that awkward, language that's a little unclear, but it's there. And so you can read it and get a really good understanding. And then I always recommend getting it in writing. So you can email the Board of Medicine any areas that you need clarification. And I'll be honest, a lot of times they're not able to clarify it anymore. They're like, well, it is what it is. And as long as you're, trying your best to meet the intent, and you're like, I don't really know what that means. So when you do your supervision plans or your collaboration agreements, you want to be real detailed in there so that you're like, okay, it's not super clear in your words. I put it in my words and you approved it. So you've covered yourself as best you can. And then, there are areas where you just kind of have to go, well, I'm hoping for the best and, move forward from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Good intentions and, as much research as you can, but you never quite know.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what about malpractice insurance? So do you foster malpractice insurance? Do you pay that for yourself? Do you pay that for your physician? How does that work?
Yeah. So I just get a part-time policy since I'm working part-time, but they're really not that expensive anymore. And I always carried mine when I was working for someone else because I wanted it to carry me and, all that kind of thing. But you just get your own malpractice policy. Some carriers will allow you to add on supervision for your physician. Others will not. So if that's something your supervising physician wants you to carry, then you need to find a company that will do that. If some of them, that their supervision is included in their own malpractice policy that they have for their other jobs. But you kind of really clarify that and make sure that you two are on the same page. It's written into a contract and that you're, following up on that.
You might not know this about me, but one of my most despised tasks as a clinician is charting. That's why I'm always searching for hacks, tools, and tactics to make charting more accurate, efficient, and less of a huge pain in the butt. If you too want to spend more time connecting with your patients and less time pointing, clicking, and typing into their chart, you should definitely check out Freed AI. Freed AI is a medical scribe on a mission to free clinicians everywhere from the purgatory that is writing notes. Freed AI listens, transcribes, and writes your medical documentation for you. You can even use the code PA50 for $50 off your first month with Freed AI. These notes are written in your style and done for you by the end of the visit. Can you imagine what it would feel like to leave work on time, notes done, without having to crack your laptop open in the evening? Freed is HIPAA compliant, completely secure, and it takes less than 30 seconds to learn. Get back to what you love doing, treating your patients, and let Freed AI do the rest. So if there is someone listening who is like, that sounds good, but I don't want to own the practice, I just want to work in telehealth. So I think there's a lot of us that are telehealth curious, who are interested in how to sort of break into this new frontier of medicine, which is happening via a screen, just like you and I are talking. So to the person who's listening, who is, you know, telehealth ambitious and wants to figure out where can they go to find, you know, because it's not like I look down the street and see all the primary care practices in my town. This is such a wide net, all these different states. They'll say you got to be licensed in so many states. Like, where does that person start?
I think PAs in virtual medicine and telemedicine is the best place to start. I think, unfortunately, PAs have not been recognized in the telemedicine space the way that nurse practitioners have. And I don't really understand. Most of them have to have collaboration supervision as well. But, you know, it is what it is for now. So PAs in virtual medicine and telemedicine is a great place. They've got a job board. I mean, you can certainly search things like Indeed. And if it comes up for a nurse practitioner, go ahead and apply. And just tell them, you know, here, you know, put in a cover letter explaining. You may want to go ahead and have your own supervising physician ready to go, your own malpractice, and let them know, hey, I've got all of this together. You just hire me. I'll show up and do the work. You may also want to approach your local practices or practice, maybe not local, but in-person practices, and let them know, here's what I can offer you from home. Like, I'm not willing to come into the office, or I'm willing to come in 2 days a week or whatever works for you, but I'd love to see your, you know, less acute patients. I can do your, an inboxologist, or, you know, different things that you would be able to offer them, and just see where that leads. I mean, I've gotten a few jobs just by approaching people and being like, look, this is how I can help you. Does that sound good to you? And they're like, hey, well, as a matter of fact, it does. So I think there's a lot of different ways to approach that.
Yeah. And figuring out, you know, identifying what you want to do. So if you don't ever want to talk to another patient again, like, maybe the inboxologist is for you. You know, if you want to do what you do at the office, but from home, you're approaching a practice that does a similar area of medicine, and sort of having a proposal, having something laid out, hey, you know, here's the potential revenue that you're missing. Here's the number of visits that you can capture. You know, you'll have more time to see your acute inpatient, you know, in-person visits if I'm doing the less acute visits virtually, and have a pitch for them that says, hey, I can provide value to you either doing the things that you hate to do, because no one loves their in-basket, right? Like, that's just, no one is loving that thing. And also, we can increase your reach. We can, you know, private practices that are sort of like, hey, we're squeezed for revenue. This is going to generate revenue, and I don't even need a computer at your office, right? So saying, like, it's less, you know, it's less to employ me than it is to get, you know, another person in this building seeing patients.
Yeah. And I think coming in with a solid proposal shows them your work ethic, your ambition, your organization, and helps them trust that, like, oh, you probably can work from home on your own and get things done, because look what you've already accomplished without any oversight. You're not going to be an additional drain on their resources. So I think that's a great way to approach it.
Absolutely. So if people are like, I want to start a practice and I want Catherine to coach me, where do they go to find that?
Yeah, you can go to certifiedpaconsulting.com. We've got a webinar that's recorded, so you can get about an hour of information about, you know, the pros and cons of practice ownership and what services we offer. We've got a resource guide on there as well. And then you can get more information about, like I said, the services we offer. So I've got a 4-month coaching program that walks you through step by step creating a practice, and there's group meetings as well, so you get to network with other people in the same place. So that's a really exciting thing that we've got going on. We also do one-on-one consulting. We've got a paperwork bundle as well, so if you just need paperwork, we've got that for you. So there's a lot of different ways that we can help.
Yeah. My experience with coaching has been that almost everything you can find for free on the internet, but what it costs you is time. You have to go out and stumble through, and instead of a 4-month step-by-step program, you spend a year and a half sort of floundering, trying to get momentum, trying to figure out what you need. Whereas a coach can say, here's what you need, here's step one, step two, step three, step four. Here's the way you walk through this. You have to check off these things. And above all else, even if you're owning a practice or starting some other business, you want to make sure that it's above board, that you're doing things, you know, legally and appropriately. We don't want to mess around with fraudulent billing or, you know, because I think a lot of those things are mistakes from well-intentioned people who are not doing it correctly.
Oh, yeah. I don't think most people set out to do things the wrong way. I know for my practice, it was a good year from when I kind of started working on it to when I actually was seeing patients. And then even it was pretty slow growing. Part of that was because virtual medicine was pretty new, but also part of it was I just didn't know what I was doing. And that's okay. Like you said, I used the free resources. I made a lot of phone calls and made a lot of mistakes that I really hope I can help other people, you know, avoid. And so if we can shorten that process from a year to 4 months and get you a little bit more profitable even than I was in the first 6 months of practice, then gosh, that really increases your reach and increases your financial reach too.
If people just want to connect with you, are you on LinkedIn? Where are great places that they can go to find you if they just want more of you?
Yes, I am not on a lot of social media. That's not my favorite thing to do. I am on Facebook. It's Catherine Harris Werner. So you can check out there, but that's not a lot. I just kind of am floating around in little groups, PAs in virtual medicine, physician assistant entrepreneur groups. I really let other people handle that. That's why I've partnered with Certified PA Consulting so that they can handle most of that. So most of our social media is going to go through there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. I love when we can say, hey, here's an example of what you can do. Here's someone who's done it successfully, who you don't have to be the first, right? You can follow in the footsteps of other people who are doing this because it just helps to increase visibility of people saying, hey, I could own my own practice. I could do that.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I'd love to, you know, I love connecting with other PAs who are in that space and seeing how as a group we can move, you know, PAs forward. And I think this is an important part of increasing autonomy and reach of all PAs is some of us that are starting our own practices too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show
thanks,
today.
Thanks, Tracy. It was so great to visit with you.
When you were a little kid, did anyone ever tell you that if you dream it, you can do it? While that may be true, sometimes we have to see it to believe it. And seeing someone who has charted a course, who has opened their own practice, and who did it even before COVID and telehealth really had its heyday is such an encouragement. If you can see it, you know that it exists. You know that there are PA practice owners out there, and it gives you that little bump of encouragement that you too can do that. I hope you'll head to the show notes and check out all of the resources that Catherine shared. And even if you don't want to open up your own telehealth practice or your own brick and mortar practice, be encouraged that the skills that you are using on an everyday basis to take care of patients are skills that you can apply in industry, in entrepreneurship, and anywhere that you see yourself going. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to another episode of The PA Is In. If this episode was helpful to you, send it to a friend. Head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We would love to hear what you think about the show. That's all for today. This PA is out. Congratulations. You've just joined an awesome club. By listening to a full episode of The PA Is In, you are officially on the Unicorn PA team. Welcome aboard. What most team members do is they subscribe to the podcast because that allows them to automatically get the latest episode of the show. The life of your dreams exists on the other side of taking action. Keep making small shifts and keep getting better. Your life will improve, your career will soar, and you will have the confidence you need to create your own success. I will see you in the next episode. This PA is out.